We also, right now on the phone, we have Randy Gustafson and Doug Ellison from Stone Consulting.
Yep. And Harvey Stone in the distance.
Harvey Stone is in the background.
Great.
And Herb Litz is also on the conference call. So he will not be counted in attendance, and he can't vote on anything once we get a quorum. But I think Tracy's about to call the meeting to order.
Yes, I'm going to call the meeting to order. We won't take any action until, hoping that we do have a quorum, but until we have a quorum, certainly. But because we called the meeting at 6, and it's 6, I think we should get started. So we're gonna skip over approving the minutes, because that would require a quorum. So I think we'll begin, Randy, if it's okay. You want to come back to this? Let's move into the consultants update for now, since we're here. So
you're breaking up a little bit there.
Okay. So Randy, can I hand it over to you to begin sort of an update, starting with your visit to the corridor?
The visit really went well. I mean, for one thing, it's hard not to love being down in Ulster County when you have a fall day like we had. I might be a little bit more skeptical about the overall potential of this thing. If it had been raining or a snowstorm or 85 degrees out, but I don't think we could have had much nicer weather to do what we did. I was quite satisfied with the portions of the corridor that we actually got to transport over. We did miss between Shokan and Boyceville because of the Catskill Mountain speeder inability to start. So other than having to look at reports and pictures and some of the other information, I'm still relatively ignorant about the portion up there around the little bay and up to the south side of the Boyceville trestle.
And that would include the Butternut Cove washout, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Although I was just looking at the engineering report pictures on that, and they're really quite good. I mean, they did a good job on documenting that corridor.
Okay. And do you want to give us any initial observations, anything that you want to expand on? I know we're going to be talking in more detail we move forward, but...
My initial impression is that I was probably looking at what almost amounted to two or three different railroads, I think are really pretty correct here. You know, the section down in Kingston and the portion we're running over.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
The section in Kingston, the portion they're running over, that's currently to FRA-1. Right up to Hurley Mountain Road is its own thing. And then that section from Hurley Mountain Road up to the top of the hill at West Hurley, that's an entirely different animal, even from what I expected to see. That's a tough piece of railroad. That's going to be a tough piece of trail. And then from once you get up to the top at Hurley Mountain Road along the reservoir, that's certainly a different piece. And I can see how the design of that particular section of the trail has progressed along rather nicely, because that's a much better built piece of railroad out there. I mean, you know from reading in books that, you know, that was the relocation and they built that in 1914. But wow, seeing it in person, you can see there was a whole different set of standards applied when that was built. And then the section up above and back down to Boyceville, when you get back down to the original alignment, all you really need to see is the construction standards that were on the bridge piers and the abutments on what's left of the Boyceville trestle to know that, yeah, that was not 1913 design. And then we went up to Phoenicia and looked above that, and I knew it was bad above Phoenicia, but it was even worse than I imagined. I've seen other abandoned railroad corridors like that. But the level of washouts and the level of corridor loss up there was probably even more than what I expected to see.
Okay. And can you give us also an update in terms of your document review? Because I know we've inundated you with documents.
Well, yeah. Hang on just a moment. I'll look at my log here.
Okay.
Okay. One of the things, I basically started with the stuff that Chris gave me that was in hard copies, just because that was nice to have it when I could actually do it when I wasn't near a computer. And that's when I noticed the letter that was attached there from DEP back to the railroad. And that was the letter copy that I sent back to you regarding that they didn't want a meeting. And I don't know how much that should be brought up now, but hopefully that's been resolved forward that we actually can have a meeting about this rather than being summarily dismissed.
You said DEC, but you mean DEP.
You said DEC, but I think you mean DEP.
Okay, yeah, that is resolved. I mean, that's, in fact, it's semi unrelated, since that letter was from DEP to Catskill Mountain Railroad. I'm working on coordinating, as I spoke to Randy earlier today, and I'm working on.
So, as long as you're carrying the ball on the meeting,
absolutely.
I'm good. I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Yeah.
I spent quite a bit of time looking through that memorandum of agreement.
Randy, this is Manna Green. I just want to. I think it's important that, as a consultant just coming in, that you be really clear in the difference between DEC and DEP. It may have just been a slip of the tongue. But we have the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Hang on just one minute.
Not really.
Herb, I think you need to put your phone on mute. I think we're getting a lot of feedback from the train.
Well, I just got off the train, so we should be fine.
Much better. So, anyway, there is the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, and they oversee a lot of environmental issues in the state and certainly in the region. But it's the New York City Department of Environmental Protection is the DEP. And I just want to be sure you're clear, because they're looking to protect New York City's water supply. And so it's just important that we make that distinction.
Yes, understood.
Thank you.
Yeah, because that was the DEP letter, I think, that I was referring to you.
You've got to put it on
mute.
Herb, can you put your phone on mute?
Is that working?
Okay.
I did. I can hear you pretty well now. Okay.
Okay.
Looking at the memorandum of agreement with New York DEP, one of the questions I've had is whether or not that is, I'm looking at the final document if that's been signed. Did review that, okay. And really, I mean, that's a pretty clear document in terms of what the intent is, and I can certainly see that people that knew what they were doing drafted it. There's probably a couple observations that I want to make on the front end on that, because I do think that it may require some more work from the county's part. One is that it seemed to be very clear on the fact that the trail surface had to be permeable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm not finding that understanding consistently through the engineering documents in terms of what the trail surface has to be in that area.
The engineering documents, are you referring to the studies, like ALTA studies and...
Yep.
B&L? Yeah, those were pre-agreements. So the understanding is that the agreement would supersede any document that exists talking about any other kind of surface for the length of the agreement. The requirement would be that the surface be permeable.
Okay. The second thing in that agreement that I kind of didn't red flag on, but I wanted to mention to you, is there's mention in there within the agreement that the county is expected to file with the Surface Transportation Board for the abandonment. And in normal Surface Transportation Board activity, the operator is the one that is under the burden to file for abandonment. And I'm not sure where that's going to leave you in terms of the lease or that, but although the county has standing, it's the provider of the service that is of the concern to the STB. And usually the owner of the property can file commentary and is absolutely included in the concern, but normally the initial activity comes from the operator, not the owner.
Okay. I have Chris White is going to respond to that comment.
Okay.
Hi, Randy.
Hi, Chris.
The agreement leaves us the ability to rail bank or not. because the agreement itself is very much akin to rail banking. Without that agreement, like, if we decide to rail bank, we have a way forward because there are operators that will do that we can contract with and do that. If we don't rail bank, we've essentially done the same thing, which is we're using the trail for interim use while we retain the perpetual railroad easement. So we left ourselves both options.
I just want to make sure you understand that you've possibly set yourself up for a situation with the STB on whether or not you have standing if there is an operator in place.
We understand that.
Okay, very good.
Okay, I have manager. One moment, Randy. I have Manager Green, I think, with a question here or a comment.
Yeah, Randy, at some point I think we need to have a conversation about rail banking so that everyone gets on the same page, because I think there's a lot of confusion about that. This is not the time. You're doing an overview of your findings, and we appreciate that, but I just want to bookmark that.
And to follow on that comment, to come back, circle back for the committee, I think that we do – thank you. I think that conversation also should be had with the attorney that we have on retainer, which we've talked about having that conversation as a committee, or at least as a committee having access to that attorney. So I'm working on that separately.
Yeah, and there's
a separate conversation too. Yes,
it's maybe a pretty specialized group. There's about half a dozen of them that actually do that kind of abandonment, and I think we all know each other, and they're all very competent people,
yeah.
And they
yeah.
will lead you through that.
Yeah, we can. We do, and we have one that's nationally recognized. What's her name again?
Andrea Furster,
who's out of Washington.
And she's also in consultation with Chuck Montaigne, who you probably know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so the document that I'm in, let me go over some of the other ones that I've completed. The chronology reports that are there, who prepared those? Was that the county or was that the Catskill Mountain?
I think that was the Catskill Mountain.
The early one, the Catskill Mountain, did the later, there's two chronologies. The second one,
yeah.
I think I prepared.
Okay, all right. They weren't entirely similar. I just wanted to make sure what I was looking at. I went over the 2015-2020 business plan, and right at the moment, I just pretty much finished up the Ashokan Trail engineering study. And, you know, the only thing I was looking for in there, and I still don't see it, is even on that upper end, I'm not seeing a real good vertical profile knowing what the grade changes are. But at least up on that part, it's pretty flat except for the first mile. You know, if you look from the Basin Road crossing up to West Hurdley, that's the only part where there's a grade change.
Okay.
Other than that, that's almost dead flat.
Yeah, it's essentially zero.
And Chris White has just told me we can get you that, the vertical profile.
Yeah, and that's where I'm still really looking to see if I can get the information. Was it surveyed from Basin Road down to West Hurdley Road yet?
No.
No.
From Basin
okay.
Road to Boyceville.
From Basin Road to Boyceville.
Okay.
Just
all right. That's what I thought. All right. Because there were survey marks all over on the upper end, and I don't remember seeing them on the lower end. And it was like, well, it was all or part of this survey. Now, after looking at the engineering report, and I mean, it's really good. That's really good in terms of every area is mapped properly. In terms of what standard cross section and what, you know, what you intend to do and the drainage issues and how many culverts, and yeah, that's what I would expect to see.
Okay, and Chris White
just to follow up, Randy, the survey, the engineering report, and the agreement are all on the same 11.5 miles. So they all overlap. That's the area where we've done the most detailed study.
And it shows, yeah.
Okay. Any other comments about the? We know from your comments last week that you looked at the Des Moines study and the Alta study.
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Going over.
I'm done with those.
Okay.
And I've pretty much gone over the Val maps, both what I would call before and the after changes, so that I'm familiar with the railroad and the valuation maps. The other personal observation that I think is germane to the conversation is the the mention that I made to you on the bridge. That appears to be completely enclosed within the DEP framework for funding. And as such, the problem with where the funding is going to come from that might not be as bad considering the restrictions or the discussions on how FEMA was going to fund that or whether or not the FEMA funding was eligible. And I'm not just, that's just an observation at this point. My observation on looking at the bridge was I was surprised how good the bridge steel was and how bad the abutments and piers were. You could certainly tell that you were looking at 1897 engineering at best compared with probably 1915 bridge steel. I think your bridge steel is probably in better shape than what you give it credit for, but oh my, those abutments and piers are just, you know, they're bad. There's no other word for it.
And Manage O'Green is speaking.
Randy, another thing to bookmark is a discussion about the FEMA funding. So again, everyone understands and gets on the same page. Because when you hear me say these things, it's because I've heard from both sides and I'm dizzy. And we're relying on your objective review and interpretation to help cut through some of that.
Okay, and Chris White would like to make a comment.
Randy, just an update on the FEMA trestle. On the Boyceville trestle, the FEMA project was awarded approximately $1.75 million in 2012 following the 2011 floods. When Barton and LaJudas looked at that, as you may see in that engineering report, the lowest cost alternative was $2.62 million with another $400,000 to remove the steel, that the two spans that are downstream. So we've submitted a rescoping request to FEMA, which is pending, and we did get an extension of the project beyond this year. We got a three-year extension to October 2018.
Good. Okay. The only thing that I saw on that trestle where I really thought I just don't understand was in the B&L study for the engineering, that for non-trail use, they were still looking at a Cooper E80 rating for that bridge.
Can you?
For non-rail use, I'm sorry. I mean, that's basically saying that it has to be rebuilt to full railroad bridge standards, even though it's not carrying a railroad anymore.
That was the assumption that we were working with FEMA. And part of the rescoping may be a conversation about changing the loading, but the FEMA program is to rebuild as is. Now, that's good because it would give us a highly rated bridge. The downside is that FEMA is also aware of the 2002 bridge report that CMRR commissioned that basically already had that at a stage 3 failure. And so FEMA is going back and forth on whether or not this is going to be partially eligible, fully eligible. It really will depend on, you know, what their organization decides.
Okay. Another observation, I made this to Tracy when we talked earlier, is that when we had the situation with a railroad bridge on our local trail, it had formed a dam during a flood event. And there was a big discussion about, well, the bridge has to come out or something. And in the end, it was raised up on concrete blocks about 3 feet. How far up did they take this one over Jackson? I think about 3 feet they took it vertically to increase the envelope underneath the bridge for drainage. And they just raised the trail up to do it and reused the original bridge. It was a very nice solution. It presented no problems at all. So, you know, jacking up those original girders that you've got, particularly when you have to rebuild the abutments and piers anyway, I think should be looked at as an alternative.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Chris White.
The B&L was just kind of a feasibility study to get some more precise estimations. We would do a full design on it and explore all alternatives. We'd like to also look at whether or not we can eliminate one of the piers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think there's one thing that just about everybody can agree on, and I really hope it moves forward for it, is the reconstruction of that bridge.
Absolutely.
It looks like you've got the funding. It looks like you've got the focus. You know, I think it's just unfortunate it hasn't already happened.
And I got some precast deck units we can use.
I've heard this before.
That's Herb Litz.
Can you deliver them there?
Yeah. Just FYI, Herb Litz
well,
is
I,
what...
I can put them on a barge. Can you take them off?
Herb is one of the inspectors on the Tappan Zee rebuild.
Oh, okay.
We're going to end up with one of those fans.
Okay, and did you want to, Randy? Did you want to discuss any of the other documents that you've looked at before we circle back to the walk, just to ask questions?
Oh, probably not. That pretty much goes through everything that I've been digging through at the moment. It's been kind of a hit or miss thing, but still, I'm very reticent to want to form too many conclusions because I still feel like I'm missing stuff. Just like I was going to say, well, I don't know if anybody's really looked at the drainage issues, and then I looked at the B&L up on top, and it's like, yeah, they've got every culvert covered. That's been done. We're good.
Yeah. Okay. Because we didn't have the opportunity, two more members of the committee are now here, so we actually have a quorum present, not counting Herb Litz remotely. But did anyone want to ask any questions, anyone on the committee, about the corridor walk? Observations of the corridor walk. Okay.
Was that already done?
Yeah, just a okay. Just a in a basic overview, so it went well.
And part of it was a ride. We rode the track car for 10 miles.
And they just missed the portion because of a track car issue. They missed the portion including the Butternut Cove washout.
And did they get north of Phoenicia?
Yes.
All the way
yes.
Okay, I'm sorry I was
you
late.
Go ahead.
I just would like your perspective on that section.
On the section we have to finish.
I guess the part that I'm surprised at is that you never hear anything from the Ulster and Delaware on this issue that they want to come down, because that would be the portion that I think they would be fighting to get to, and I don't hear anything.
What's the shape, though? I mean,
when you get right up to High Mount, from High Mount over, I mean, that was operated for a while on the very far end.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, when you see where the ski resort is and what's going on right up there, you kind of go, well, gee, this is kind of sad that, you know, I can see why to a certain extent it would be nice to get rail up there. But, boy, that's just so far. And, coming up from Kingston up there, I don't know how you'd ever economically justify it. And I'm not sure even if you did economically justify it, if you'd have enough ridership and use for it. It seems to be more closely associated with Delaware County than Ulster, but that's just my observation.
I think it might warrant a discussion. We've talked about this at this table, and it might warrant a discussion with UND. I don't currently know the status of the UND line in terms of their financial DNU in terms of their financial situation. I actually 2 weeks ago. I was going to take my daughter because I wanted to just get out there and see it, and I went on the website and said it was closed for the season due to some technical problems. So I'm not sure what the status of their operation is, but I think it would be worthwhile to reach out to them, call them at some point, just even to have the conversation about the possibility.
Tracy.
Yes.
Is there anything that you need my expertise for? Because my corporate meeting is going to start in about 5 minutes.
Is there anything you want to add before you go? I think we're okay, and then I'll talk to you offline about the meeting, confirming the meeting with the DEP.
That's fine. I think I'm good.
Okay. Thank you, Herb.
All right. No, thank you very much. Have a good night. Hope the meeting goes well.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Take care. Yep. Okay. All right. Bye.
Okay, Chris White.
If you're going to go up to the DNU, just call to make sure they're in service, because they haven't been in service the last weeks. They had a problem with their engine. They also haven't been able to get back to the foot of Bel Air with passenger trains. They got a work train there. But I understand they're about 7 to 8 miles of track in between where they leave off and where Bel Air is. But that would be a great spot for a station.
Some
someone have a
something open.
Randy, are you experiencing static over there? Are you hearing that?
Yeah, no, I can hear you just fine. Well, I can't hear the static one, but I can hear your conversation just
okay,
fine.
Okay, it just went. Okay, and it just
yeah, one comment I did want to make sure the committee knows is that I did dump the entire 2014 year from the FRA database down and then sorted it down by state and so on. So I have all the ridership for everybody in New York for 2014 and 2013, if and when that becomes you need any verification of the numbers on what was submitted. And the only comment I'll make that's probably germane to the discussion at the moment is the 40,270 number is the same number that was reported to the FRA and that you're working with from the Catskill Mountain. And while you might think that should be no reason to be unusual, frankly, they hardly ever match on what they talk about openly and what they report to the FRA. They're usually off by at least 10%. But I do have the monthly ridership for everybody for 2 years, including everybody that was referenced in the business plan of the Catskill Mountain.
That's great. And I know that Chris, you had asked for a copy of that. So if we could get a copy both for the committee's records and for Chris White, who had asked for it for planning, that would be great.
Okay, I already have it, so it's just a matter of, I didn't want to bury under excess detail, but I already have it.
Okay, but if you could get it to us, because I know you told us at the last meeting and you told me separately that while it's public, it's difficult to get to. It's difficult to navigate to get those numbers, so that would be helpful, again, just for the record.
Okay,
and so just to get everyone on the committee on the same page, I'm in the process of coordinating a meeting with DEP. Herb and I will attend in person, and Randy will either be there via phone conference or very possibly in person because we're looking about 2 weeks out, and that might be just the perfect time for Randy and Gordon and whomever from Stone to do a follow-up visit because I know Randy wants to get back out in the field, and hopefully in that period we'll be able to get them whatever other information they need. So I'll keep the committee apprised of that happening, but just so, once again, everyone knows that Herb and I will be meeting with the DEP. And so if anyone has any specific questions that they want to ask through us or have us ask, and let us know in advance of that meeting, which right now looks like it could be the 9th of November. Yes, Nana.
I know that Fawn writes up very good notes, but I'm wondering if it makes sense for Stone to present some of these highlights in writing.
Oh, absolutely. The contract, which we can circulate the executed contract to everyone, just so you could see what we finally put in and what was signed to. But there are several beyond what RFP had. Yeah, we had several milestones that we included just for that reason, so that the committee could be brought up to date. So we had the project kickoff meeting, which we already did. Task two was to review the existing studies and documents and to provide us with a technical memo detailing that review. Task three was the rail and trail cost and feasibility analysis, and that also comes with a technical memo that will provide a summary of the cost and feasibility analysis. And then an impact analysis, which includes the economic and the health impact analysis. Again, another technical memo. All before the final deliverable of the final report. So that brings us, I think, if there are other questions, to the issue of timing, because our resolution calls for us to deliver our report no later than November 30th, which we've all acknowledged from the beginning is a very tight timeline. Not to mention that our contract gives no later than November the same date for the consultants to deliver their information. And I've been very clear, and I think we're all very clear, that the consultant's document to us is not in itself the document that we're presenting to the legislature. It's going to inform the recommendation that we make to the legislature. So I'm inclined to in a formal way ask, even though sometimes when we have these committees, there's a buffer built in where we just have to ask for some more time. This one did not have that buffer, so I'm inclined to ask for more time in a formal
resolution.
Way, but via resolution to amend this resolution and ask maybe for the end of the year. I want to open it for discussion, and it might take longer. So what? Okay, Dave Donaldson.
Yeah, really, I think it doesn't matter if you're lying on the
But I like to be, especially when we have something requiring something, but a resolution requiring something by a deadline.
Yeah,
we know we're going to be late. It would be very hard to.
No.
And if not to be late, we would be uninformed because we would be making a recommendation both in advance of our consultants' recommendations to us or information to end in advance of our ability
just
to
amend by resolution, whatever time these things.
Yeah, and so that's what I'd like to discuss, ma'am.
Probably more than what you said.
It looks to me like of the deliverables, we're on our way to the first two, and you know, we have three more, and then ours. So
theirs are due by the 30th November.
Yeah. So my first question is, since that's a contract, I don't know that we can amend that by resolution.
No.
Okay, I just wanted to check.
Yeah, we're not. No.
No, we're not amending.
Okay. And in terms of, I mean, we have to be finished by the end of the year because.
Because there's a
new legislature.
Yes.
Generally, for example, with grants, if you can see you're not going to complete the grant on time, they'll usually advise you, if you think you need 3 months, ask for six, because then you don't have to go back for another extension.
Right.
But I'm not sure that, I mean, I think we should extend it till the end of the year, but I'm not sure that it makes sense.
Earlier. I mean,
and shoot for earlier. Absolutely.
Be aggressive, even though we're asking.
So we're only making a modification of the original resolution.
When is the
monthly
meeting in December?
The legislative meeting is the 15th.
The
18th budget program. Mm-hmm. Don't we have two in December?
Before we go on, do we have any? Is there anything more? I realize because I hear the feedback. Does anyone have any more questions for Randy or Stone Consulting right now? If not, I think we can. Wait. Okay. We have Chris White, Randy. Chris White.
Randy.
Okay.
Just a clarification. The contract gives you up until November 30th to deliver your final product. Mm-hmm. Is it possible?
Yeah, that remains unchanged.
Is it possible to expedite that and deliver that earlier rather than lose the time frame that the legislature has established for itself?
I don't think we're going to beat that by any measurable amount.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anyone else with a question for Randy or Stone? Because I think then if we're just going to be dealing with this housekeeping, then I think we could probably let them go. Okay, Randy.
I have something I want to insert here before I do sign off here.
Okay.
One of the things that I think is important for the committee when they're evaluating not only the highest and best use for the corridor, but also when you're evaluating the proposals, is that much of the value of the proposal and the value of the corridor hinges on two parties that are not involved in the discussion directly. And one is HIT Entertainment, and the other is Rail Events. They have as much to say about the success of this corridor as your operator. And both of those organizations, I think, are willing to discuss these issues about what they need for a successful operation with the committee. That can either come through me or can be done directly. It makes no difference to me. I know the individuals to contact.
You're talking about the licensors for the events that the rail events that are currently
like Thomas
happening.
And
Yeah,
because you have to really realize that they're partners rather than vendors with the railroad operator, whoever that might be.
And that's assuming that whoever the railroad operator might be would continue to do the same events.
right?
I mean,
yes. Yes.
Well, supposedly they don't.
They have
they don't know that.
Their own perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's only so many people that do those types of events.
What was the first thing
but
he
the
said
new owner,
too?
If there's a new owner, they might not be interested in doing those events. They might want to do something else.
Okay, so but just to clarify, so you're suggesting that the committee speak to HIT Entertainment and Rail Events. Those are the correct names, correct? I think.
Yes.
HIT Entertainment, in order to get basically, I'm paraphrasing, stop me if I'm wrong, basically to get straight from their mouths what it is that they need to run events in any given corridor, because that might somehow affect how we approach any rail aspect of the corridor?
Yes. Well stated.
Okay, Chris White?
Question, Randy. Would either entity be able to submit a proposal for this? Could they directly administer an operation, or would they be a partner to the operator?
I characterize it as a partner to the operator. Rail Events has now gotten involved enough that in some cases they've almost taken an equity position as an operator, but they're still not, with very few exceptions, being the actual owner of the property and providing the services directly. They've got some, but that's the very minority position.
It's my understanding they run the Durango train. Is that incorrect?
Yes, they own it and run it.
I mean, that then puts us in a situation where they could potentially bid on the corridor or the operation of the corridor.
Potentially, yes, strategically. They just made a commitment to participate with the Conway Scenic Railroad in New Hampshire. That was just announced.
Okay, I have Manna and then Dave Donaldson. Manna Joe Green.
I think Dave and I may be saying the same thing, but I just want to remind you that in the Railroad Advisory Committee, a request for information has been floated just to see if there are people potentially interested in... go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, we sent out
request.
EOI, I'm always getting the damn thing.
Yeah.
We haven't got a response back yet, but my understanding is when talking to some people in the railroad business, they said that you may not get a response because of the atmosphere with the railroad in the county. But I'm hoping at least something comes out. But I also agree, I think we should hear from the HITs and the rails people to find out what they require to have a successful event, because these are the two people or the two groups that do these events throughout the country.
Well, that was my question. I mean, is it an exhaustive list? I know it's, I'm assuming based on, because those are the two companies that you bring up, that those are the two companies that Catskill Mountain Railroad utilize for their events currently, but are there other companies that do similar work nationwide?
Not really, because these are having to do a direct contractual obligation with the movie and entertainment companies.
Yep.
Warner Brothers has an exclusive contract with Rail Events.
Whoa.
Hmm? And HIT is Thomas the Train. I've seen that on
the TV. Yeah, that's basically back to Mattel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that goes, you know, all the way over to England. The reason I think it's germane is because they're the ones that establish things like length of run. They're the ones that establish time on the train. They're the ones that establish what they want to see for minimum restroom standards. They're the ones that want to establish minimum equipment standards. A lot of the things that you're going to be getting from a possible proposer either are or should be a direct reflection of those standards.
So, in other words, that could inform if we were to recommend, or if the county were eventually to recommend that all or a portion of the corridor would be utilized for rail, a proposal going out to the rail community would want to address those parameters.
and any proposals that you would receive that would were saying that they were working on hosting these events better reflect these realities as well.
Mm-hmm. Right, and what we're willing to supply. Right. I mean, you know, depending on where
yeah.
you are, there's some places that are very, shall we say, railroad-oriented, and they spend a lot of, you know, that county or that area spends a significant amount of money to promote and to build up.
Right. Okay, Ernie?
Well, I'll give you a very specific, okay? One of the things I was kind of curious about, because I know the guys at RailEvents, is did you look at Phoenicia? I said, so what was the issue with Phoenicia? He said, parking. He said, they'd have to bus people in. He said, we'd have to bus people all the way in from Kingston. He says, not that they can't do it there, but he said, where are they going to park?
Okay, I have Ernie and then Kathy.
Yeah, just tell you that the Thomas people have a 200-page manual giving you all details of the event. I mean, if you all want to see it, you're welcome to have it. But they are extremely detailed. All events is...
You got to speak up because I don't know
where.
They both have very detailed specs of how we're supposed to run things. It's called any operator. I don't know if you want to see those things.
Well, it certainly couldn't hurt for us to see those things. And Kathy?
Yeah, this makes sense because we've had some questions about this and some of the information about Phoenicia, I think, has been in dispute.
Mm-hmm.
The Festival of the Voice brings in 5,000 people,
yeah.
and they don't bus anybody in from Kingston. They
yeah.
do their parking directly in Phoenicia at sites that might not be obvious, including
yeah.
Their municipal lots and church lots. And so I think there may be a need for good information there. But I would just ask the question, if these are the only two vendors who can fulfill the contract, and then we discuss with them ahead of time what the conditions are that they need, it seems like they're setting up to be the only ones to fulfill whatever they give you as information. So I just worry a little bit that you kind of taint the future working relationship if you could employ them as a sort of consultant at this point.
Right.
But I agree that there's a need to get this good
information.
So maybe it would be good to start with the published manuals and look at...
Mm-hmm.
Material that's more readily available without a direct
involvement. Yeah, Ernie, if they don't consider those proprietary, that's a good place to start.
Just to make sure that they would.
He's asking if he said if the manuals aren't proprietary, then that would be a good place to start. Dave and then Lynn.
You know, I don't think by us listening to these people that are providers of these events are going to say that we're going to do these or not going to do these or,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's, they are the only two that really do it anyway. So it's not like we're, you know,
and they're not in most cases, I'm hearing, they're not the provider of the events.
Right.
They are the licensor of the events, but
your head is purely a license.
In one case, in...
So my take on it is I think we should hear from them, and I think it makes sense. I mean, we're not asking them to do any events. We're asking them to find out what it is
what do they require
in order to have events. You know, that's what we're trying to do. And, I mean, we can read through the manuals and do that, but I'm really not in the mood of running through these, you know, hundreds of pages and stuff
okay.
like that and then having to ask questions. But we can actually ask them directly back and forth.
Well, and
if they're willing, we don't even know if they're willing to even.
I was just going to say, I mean, if their manuals are proprietary, then they probably wouldn't be willing to talk to us in the public setting we require to tell us all the information that's in the manuals. If their manuals aren't proprietary, then maybe they would be willing to talk to us in a public meeting and to sort of download their minimum requirements for their standard events. Lynn.
Yeah, and it's more a data collection versus having a conversation with them about what we need and want. We need to be very specific about that because if down the road they do become somebody interested in bidding, they have a distinctive, you know, advantage. So I think we need to just be really clear about the gathering.
I don't know why would they have an advantage?
Well, because if their information informs the way we write the specs
yeah.
of a bid, then that, by nature,
if that's,
you know what I mean? If
you're
calling
someone
in as a consultant, yeah,
down
the
road.
But we're not looking at writing a bid on that at this point.
No, but that's the and to some degree, that's the reason that we would want to know what are, because as we're, I mean, where I see a value, even just the back and forth we've just had about the failings or perceived failings of the Phoenicia site, you know, when we start to look at sections of this corridor and attempts, and I always say sections or the entirety, and we're making recommendations as to what the highest and best use is for any individual section, I think we do need to understand what are the limitations and what are the expectations, both for trail, because we've heard about ASHTO standards, and for rail. We need to know about what do we need for parking, what do we need, especially if what makes it viable are these types of licensed events.
The area where it is obviously has something. Mm-hmm. I mean, the advantage of the
right. But we need to hear that. I mean, that's also something that would be germane to ask them. I mean, and to look at where else they've licensed. Okay, after Matt and Memphis.
Yeah, I thought Randy said that the HIT entertainment or the rail entertainment is that they have set standards they expect.
Yeah.
So isn't that what we're looking for? Yeah. What are they?
Yeah, exactly. Manna? But
to add to that, you know, I do think I see value in having an interaction with them, but initially we want to understand the standards.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I wanted to ask is, as part of the technical memo, I'm just a little confused. The assessment that you made from the walk and the track ride, is that going to be included in a technical memo? A report of those observations?
Well, I'm assuming it is. It's just that I haven't provided
okay.
it.
Okay.
We're getting the phone
okay.
call first. And
I don't have the contract in front of me, and I was just trying to get clarity. Okay, thank you.
I mean, that's going to be part of the report in any manner anyway.
Okay.
But certainly is the right thing to do, because there are specific observations that sometimes I feel like, yeah, I'm plowing the same field that everybody has already been across, but if I find one thing that nobody else has thought about, it's worth it.
And can we get that information as it is, as you can make it ready, so that we don't have to process everything, you know,
yeah,
on November 30th. And even if it's as a draft that can be modified, I want to learn mm-hmm. in increments. Like we're looking at the trail, you know, the corridor, the rail corridor and potential trail in increments. I want to be able to process the information that you provide us as it becomes ready, with the understanding that if new information comes up, it can be modified, and certainly modified in the final report.
Well, I tend to be kind of a prodigious typist. It tends to be more of a fault than a feature. So if that's what you'd like, that's what you'll get.
Okay. Just make sure there are bullets and headings, so it's not just pages and pages of words.
Okay, Chris White.
I wanted to offer a suggestion on the reaching out to the rail events and HIT entertainment. I don't disagree that might be helpful information, but I think it might be helpful to balance it perhaps with something on the trail standards side. If you were going to interview those two entities, perhaps then you also add into your scope interviewing someone like Carl Beard from National Park Service Parks and Trails. And then he can speak about the ASHTO standards, and he can... And that might be...
No, I think that's... I think that's a... I also
no,
think...
No, that's a different hit.
No?
And then the second... The second suggestion would be that if you do decide to go with the entertainment companies and they do provide details such as our parking needs are X, I think it would be you then need to take a next step and define X for you. They may say, I would look more towards quantities. We would need 400 spaces as opposed to Phoenicia has enough parking. And then what you could do is you could actually evaluate it against the objective criteria rather than have them make the judgment.
Right.
And then the third recommendation I would just offer is if there's an early deliverable possible in this project, could it be the 11 and a half miles of the Ashokan Reservoir?
Oh, lost you.
My last question was, if there is an early deliverable in this study, could it be the Ashokan Reservoir section so that we could, you know, get moving at some point on the preliminary design for that?
Okay, can I just respond? I'm going to respond first. Okay, to all three. The Carl.
We've got to wait until the DEP meeting because it includes that section between milepostal.
Yeah.
We've got to.
Okay, let me take these one at a time. As for Carl Beard, I think that's an excellent suggestion. I feel on your stating it that I may have taken it for granted since I got to be alone on the corridor with Carl Beard and Kathy, but I got the benefit of Carl's wealth of information for hours since we walked a very long portion, and the rest of the committee should hear Carl Beard as well. So point taken, and we'll do that. As to your second comment, I think I saw a lot of nodding heads. I think everyone agrees. It's an excellent suggestion. The last comment there, I want to once again say that the Schedule A in the scope of services, which I will make sure everyone has again, does have several deliverables in the form of technical memos prior to the final recommendation. I think what you're asking, Chris, is that as far as the final report or the deliverables in any given section, if we were to take out the Ashokan section, and I appreciate that that there's a want to get moving on that because certain agreements have been signed, but from the perspective of this committee, we're charged with looking at the whole corridor, and I don't think we want to pull out one section to move ahead, because in some ways that kind of goes against the whole function of our ability to debate and discuss the whole corridor. So I want to get moving on and have the deliverables as they're available on each of these tasks, as we call them in the Schedule A. But even given the fact that the DEP meeting right now is not tentatively scheduled until November 9th, it's going to be hard to isolate one section as a deliverable as independent from the rest. So I think if we keep to the tasks as listed in the Schedule A, and we get those deliverables as we go, and we continue with these discussions with the committee, plus our in-person meeting hopefully on the 9th, plus whatever conversations I'm going to facilitate, answers, getting Randy whatever answers he needs, we should be getting a kind of a regular flow of information toward our final report. Jeanette.
Okay.
Did I miss you? I had Dave before Jeanette, but go ahead, Randy, and then I have Dave, and then
One of the things that when I talked to Gordon today, he wanted a prompt for the information that he requested, and it's recorded in the minutes off the original meeting.
He got that. I'm pretty sure he got that right after the meeting. Wasn't that what you uploaded for him?
I thought I had uploaded it, but
yeah, I saw it uploaded. I'm pretty sure if Gordon double checks that was uploaded to the site the next. I want to say the next day I got a notification of that Fawn had uploaded it. So somehow that got confused, or we can re-upload it, or
I'll try. Some stuff I can't send you directly because it's just too big, but I'll double check.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll check on that because I don't know if he got it or not. The second question, and this is probably for Chris, you know, one of the things that was immensely valuable for me when I was working in Cumberland with the trail project down there was working directly with what I call the number one and number two local bicycle outfitters that were down there in Cumberland. The perspective they gave me on how their business had to work was invaluable. And I haven't seen any contacts or participation in Ulster County. I don't know who those individuals might be, but if it's agreeable to the committee and think it's valuable, those are some individuals I really like to include in my discussions, because understanding the business of the trails is as important as understanding the business of the railroad.
Okay. Yeah, and Chris is going to respond to that.
Randy, we have a bike shop in Woodstock that's very involved, Overlook Bikes, and then maybe I would suggest just a permutation of what you just suggested, which is rather than another bike shop, we have a group called Fats and the Cats, and they develop It's like a bike club that does a lot of trail maintenance and other activities, races. So maybe if I could, I'll send a couple contacts to Tracy on that.
Yeah, I really would like to include that because it certainly changed a lot of my perspectives doing it in Cumberland, and I expect it will do the same here.
And might I just offer an additional suggestion on that? The trail is a multi-use trail. Is not only valuable to the biking community, but the other interesting perspective might be through someone like a HITS events, which is based in Saugerties, and they run marathon events, triathlons. I think they would be very effective in telling you what the potential for special events might be.
Yeah, we have one that's, you may have heard of it, Chris, up here. We've got the Presque Isle events that go on because of Presque Isle up in Lake Erie. And those are just turning into monster special events. I mean, they just bury Erie County.
And we're seeing that with our marathons. When they run marathons out of Kingston down the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail and then up the O&W and back into Kingston, those have been really successful. Yeah. So.
Okay, I have Dave and then Jeanette. And before, I just want to clarify, we will confirm that the information that was uploaded is what Gordon asked for, and if not, we'll get it, because I know that he's talking about the tourism report,
yeah,
which I don't know if
whatever you're missing, let me know.
Okay, so we'll make sure that if it's not the right stuff, we'll get it out. Okay.
Hey, I'm wondering if, Randy, you could help facilitate us getting... you know, the HITS and the rail people to call in and have a conversation with us.
Sure, they're normal human beings, and they're actually quite pleasant to work with.
And, Randy, the HITS I mentioned is a local entity called Horses in the Sun, and they administer now a lot of special events. So I didn't want there to be confusion between your HITS and the Saugerties HITS.
One has an S, one doesn't, right?
Correct.
One is HIT and one is HIT.
They go by HITS Endurance.
HITS Endurance, thank you.
Okay. Randy, you and I, we can coordinate regarding rail events and HIT Entertainment. I have Jeanette.
Yeah, I want to go back to talking about the segmented approach.
Yes.
Because we talked about that last month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the minutes where legislator Litz stated he envisioned a segmented approach to the report with the highest and best approach identified for each segment. So isn't that what Chris was asking for?
Yeah, but Chris was asking one segment to be pulled out
prior to
everything. One segment to be separated and given in first. And
so we're not going to have discussions on segments.
We are.
As they come up, they're going to be wait till you get a full report?
No, we are. But the matter of fact is we our committee, are not going to be making a recommendation about one segment in advance of dealing with the whole corridor, segment by segment. Our final report is going to be one report, not a report on one segment, and then we deal with the rest of the segments.
It doesn't
work that way.
All right,
but that's absolutely the way we're going to be approaching it. Nana.
Yeah, I just want to say, even this evening, we heard essentially a segment by segment reflection of the tour that they took. So, and I think that as we look at economics and health, and we'll be segment by segment. Mm-hmm. But I think we want to kind of do them all at once as we focus on the different aspects, and then clearly our recommendations are going to be by sections.
Okay. John, from the audience.
It's being recommended that we talk to New York, New Jersey Trail Conference. Randy.
Okay.
Okay, can you send? You'll send us contact information, and then we can start.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Does anyone, Randy? Do you have any last thoughts? Anyone else have any questions for Randy?
Well, the only last thought I have is that I'm glad that I've got everything else cleared off my decks here, that you guys are virtually the only thing on my table for the next month.
That's
so
great. We'll send you more papers.
I was coming in and pouring myself coffee. It's all Ulster all the time.
We'll keep you busy. Well, thank you very much. Everyone else good? Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Randy.
Okay.
So can I just to follow up now, question?
Yes.
All these groups that we're talking about.
Goodbye, yes. Randy.
Okay, I'm cutting off.
You're going to invite them here to meetings individually to speak?
Well, some of what we're talking about, to reiterate, I think some of the suggestions that Randy asked in terms of the bike community, Chris is going to provide me contact information that I'm going to give to Randy so Randy can talk directly to them to inform his research and to
But they're not going to be addressing our community.
Not necessarily. As for HIT Entertainment and rail events, in some way, shape, or form, they're either going to address the committee via something like this, or I don't know if they'll come in, or we're going to get a chance to look at their, which seems like no one wants to go through these manuals to kind of dissect. But so if we can speak to someone directly, that would be better.
But why them and not? For instance, the
Trails Conference.
Yeah,
that is who we're talking about. What do you mean? Why them and not that? They are the Thomas the Train HIT Entertainment.
I'm not talking about Thomas. You're talking about Thomas the Train.
Okay.
I'm talking about the local hits. Thomas
Scuderi,
the one that does nationwide marathons, half marathons, half Ironman.
Yeah, I think in the same way that I think Carl Beard should come to us, we should have
my question. Yeah. Are we going to be inviting? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Would it make sense to consider other rail operations that might be similar? If you're going to talk to all these variety of people who know about different aspects of this conundrum we're dealing with, does it make sense to deal with other tourist rail operators and ask their experience, both dealing with perhaps local conflicts with trail groups or cooperation with trail groups and how they've solved some of the things?
I think, you know, we might consider that, but I feel like a lot of what I imagine, and anyone else I'm speaking now is one member of the committee, but a lot of what I imagine these conversations informing goes back to what we discussed about feasibility in all its aspects, both. You know, what is going to make any aspect of this corridor the highest and best use for the corridor, taking into account everything. And so as for us to make an informed decision, it's less about what other operators have come up against than what the individual needs of the different uses are to make it the best it can be in that aspect. But maybe down the road we may need that in which case we can reach out. Yes,
you know, maybe a suggestion. You have a consultant that's really knowledgeable and he knows questions to ask. And it's almost like by having one entity in and the other side not in, you know, it's almost taken away from what he does. And maybe it's worth considering, like, just give it all to him and let him do the interviews and come back with a report to you. I mean,
You mean give everything, give him his...
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, because it's a slippery slope. Like, if you bring the two rail operators in, there's going to be a written report of that. And then
right.
we can still, you know, vet it through
the
lens.
And it cuts the middleman, too.
Yeah, and that way you're leaving him... I mean, I get the sense that he's doing a lot of work on this.
Yeah.
And I would just leave him go on it.
I mean, that... And a lot... I really like that suggestion because I like the idea of... HIT Entertainment and HIT Randy being able to disseminate the information for us in the same way that Manna, you've repeatedly, and Jeanette, both of you are the two who over time have asked for someone, you know, wanting from a consultant to take these information, these piles of reports, and sort of break it down for us and synthesize it. It's a good word. And so on some level, it does make sense to ask our consultant to give them the resources to say, here are the people, here are the trail people, the conference people, the HITS entertainment, the local bike shop, here's HIT entertainment and rail events.
It's indoor.
And, you know, go through all of that and tell us what we need for either of those aspects. Dave, Lynn.
Well, the problem with that is I think you suggested that we hear from them, and I think we should be hearing from them because we've been inundated we've been given the trail side so heavily, and we have not heard anything from these groups of people. We haven't really heard them, and I think they're the ones that we should be hearing. We should hear something from them.
But
we have gotten presentations, dog and bony shows, go on and on and on and on. We have not gotten anything from those people that are outside the trail group.
Well, we
and
have
I really
from CMR.
We
have
that.
Gotten a lot of information from CMRR. So what the Germaine
well, we got some information, but we
right.
haven't gotten information from outside CMRR.
But the Germaine question, Dave, is what would HIT Entertainment or rail events give to us via a phone conversation that Randy couldn't distill to us in writing? I mean,
we just heard from Ernie,
it's a very clear cut, you know, contract. It's a document that's, you went like this, you know.
I could just comment.
Okay.
The one thing about rail events and HIT is that we've been questioned a lot about, you know, whether said they were and things like that. In a way, it really depends whether the committee members want to talk with them directly to answer their own questions about it.
Well, what do you mean? I'm confused what you mean, question whether these events
were we've had railroad meetings where there were questions whether they really had that amount of people showing up. And
But that's a totally different debate.
I don't think that's relevant.
That's what I'm pointing out, though. I really would like to hear it. Can we, at this point, after he finishes, can we keep it with our committee at this point? I'd like to have us discuss it.
Okay,
you know,
well, because it's been open, because I just let Ernie talk, I don't want to shut down the conversation at this. I don't want to shut it down in the middle. I give preference to the members of the committee, but I'm not prepared to shut down the conversation in its entirety. I think we've gotten some valuable information from outside of the committee. So
well, we also just got valuable information. He said that we should be listening to them. We should hear what they had to do. Now, all of a sudden, we're not listening to them.
No, it's not that we're not listening to them. It's that I'm appreciating this, just as one member, I'm appreciating the suggestion that if what we're listening to them, what he's suggesting that we should listen to them about, is about their requirements for events.
Right.
And if those requirements are standards that exist on mm-hmm. paper, which they must because
yeah.
they sign contracts and I know what it's like to deal with the movie and entertainment industry, if that exists in a contractual form.
But we can also find out what makes them, they do it throughout the country. They're not only doing these
But I'm
things.
Confused. If what we're trying to distill
no.
is their
if
minimum standards.
You go around,
standards.
You'll see them and they're in Maine, they're in
right.
Georgia, they're all throughout the country. So as a result, what happens is we could know from them, they could tell us which ones are the most successful of all the events and why.
Oh, well, that's okay. All right, let someone else talk instead of going back further. I have Lynn and then Manna.
Okay, the whole point of having a consultant was to help, again, synthesize the information. There are a lot of stakeholders that we have just put on a list to have him go and speak to.
Mm-hmm.
We put him in the role of helping facilitate. He brings to the table already a view from a railroad perspective that we haven't per se had. And so I think that by allowing him to be the person interviewing all the stakeholders, bringing that information back, I'm sure we're still going to have questions for him in this process, but we're trying to facilitate a process and get information out. I think that if we brought every stakeholder in here, different questions are going to be asked. When a consultant goes in and starts to look at all the different stakeholders, it is with an agenda of what they're trying to glean from the conversations. And there's a level of consistency as they're going through a process. Just having a broad conversation here doesn't necessarily get to the same information, that there's that more value for a consultant to mm-hmm. sit down with these individuals and really drill down and then bring back to us. And And by the way, I would expect that if we've got questions, he should be able to answer some of these questions.
The point is, why would I need to go through him if I can actually talk to the people that do the events?
Well, we don't have the expertise.
I don't think we need both of them, but I think one of them would be good to listen to and have the conversation so we know basically what tends to be the best events for that particular group. That's probably going to be very similar, I would assume.
But when you say what is the best events, are you talking about the difference between...
Why the polar event in Maine gets X amount of people showing up, but the polar event in Georgia gets 3X? I don't know.
Right.
In other words, we would like to know that. That it would be something that would, in other words, that we would also be able to tell us why they zero in. Like, for instance, the mindset is that Phoenicia would not be a good spot for this. Well, maybe it could be a good spot. I don't know. But you know, the mindset has been that it's not been a good spot because of various information, whatever they came up with. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to talk to the horse's mouth when I deal with that. And I don't think it's a big deal by going through one group to have that conversation, because we haven't had any conversation on what's the best thing for the railroad to be successful. Okay. We have not had those conversations.
Okay. Well, we haven't really had a conversation from anyone in particular about the trail.
Of course we have. We've had studies instead. We've had money, new grants.
We've had studies with railroad, too.
Okay,
but that's not what
we're talking about. Let's let everybody have Lynn.
Let's put our questions together and make sure he gets them answered. I'm just trying to figure out how to facilitate. I get what you're saying.
Well, let's finish the conversation first.
Let's finish the conversation
first. Let us all have our opinion first.
Okay. My hope was that very often the answer is both. And, mm-hmm. To have them look it over and synthesize it and give us that, but then to have an opportunity to have a brief, interactive conversation with them that is not filtered through the consultant, but to
individual.
I'm not sure. I agree with Dave as represent. Just picking one. If we could coordinate it, as long as we keep the conversation to a strict time limit to have an opportunity to interact with any of these folks after it's pre-screened and synthesized by, just in case. I prefer not to have my questions go through the consultant, but to have a chance to speak with any of the people that have just been recommended.
Okay.
Briefly.
And then I have Jeanette and then I have you.
Well, I think I'm agreeing with Joe, is that the consultant, I think also as Lynn had said, let the consultant do all the groundwork. Mm-hmm. And once he gives us a report, hopefully it would be here, mm-hmm. That if there are a follow-up questions to a particular vendor or an entity, then we'd have the opportunity to say we'd like them to come in and have a more thorough discussion.
Also, a follow-on on that before I let you go, Chris, is that if we at least have, if we're able to get through Randy kind of a summary of what these, the bullet points analysis of the 100-page contract in terms of what's needed, what the minimum standards are, it might better inform our questions when these people are in front of us or on the phone. Mm-hmm. And that same would go for HITS, Endurance and Carl Beard and the trail organizations, if they've been able to provide, and through their conversations mm-hmm. with Randy, if they've been able to provide not just what their minimum standards are, but why and what the difference in the impacts of what mm-hmm. what events they can bring as well from a trail perspective, mm-hmm. what events they can bring given those standards, then that'll better inform our questions for them at Chris.
My only question would be if you have the operators come in and they have a direct conversation with you, then how do you decide not to engage directly all of the other stakeholder groups, like National Park Service or the bike shops? And part of it is, I think what you guys did with the DEP agreement was really valuable. You submitted all the questions. Everybody took their questions in writing, and they submitted them, and then they were answered, and they were answered fully. It wasn't like you're asking them a question on the phone, which they might not. So if you do it that way, I think you kind of inoculate yourself from having, you know, one side in and then the other side wasn't in.
Yeah,
and I think in just in terms of time, you're now at October 22nd, you've got 38 days to do it. And it's like, he'll run with it. Like, if you give him the go-ahead, I could see him calling these rail events tomorrow and doing it. And then perhaps when he does the report, if there are follow-up questions that you need from any of the stakeholders, you identify those. You know, like he comes back with a preliminary report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeanette? That's what I think we just said, but I'm not in favor of just right now writing down questions, because I don't know what questions to ask. I want to hear from a consultant after he's interviewed all these people that we mentioned tonight, mm-hmm. get a report, have him here, hopefully, and then if we have follow-ups, you know, if we're concerned about something, have a follow-up question, then that, you know, we should be able to, you know, to ask it. You know, I don't think we need to try to imagine what question should I ask. I don't know if it's the right one. So I'm talking to somebody.
Right.
But I'm not an expert on
that. Yeah, I agree with that concept, but I also would take it a step further, which was outlined, that Chris outlined, which is even if we have additional questions, let the consultant go back and get it, unless you're willing to bring in every stakeholder and interview.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And
you know what I'm saying? Otherwise, then we've got huge...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no sense of worrying about it until you see what questions you have.
Right.
And, you know,
then we'll make
and
that
what we got, what he gleans right. from his interviews.
Right. And just so you know, I mean, we did build into the contract the stakeholders' interviews, so... It's already a part mm-hmm. of what's required. So I think to have them moving on it, because the issue of time, even if we were to say, okay, you know what, we want to interview all these people. We're bringing in 10 different groups here. It's going to take us a tremendous amount of time. I think let's begin.
That's what we're paying.
Let's begin
him
with Randy. We'll take a vote on this if we need to, but I think we'll begin with Randy reaching out to all these organizations, and then Dave will be prepared to bring them in for further questioning.
Right.
Well, it was interesting because he told us we should bring them in and have a conversation with them, and now we're not going to. So I guess
I just said if we need to, we will.
All right.
What he's saying.
I just find
that
it interesting how things change.
Nothing changed.
No problem.
Nothing's changed. We haven't even had a discussion. He made a recommendation.
Recommendation.
We discussed how we want to handle
change.
It.
We don't do everything.
Made a recommendation, and we said no.
He's our consultant. He's not our director.
I understand that.
We are actually directing the work he's doing.
So
he's not directing the work
we're
doing.
Somehow we got influenced not to do it then.
We're not influenced not to do it. We're just not doing it first. I really would like to know
what makes it successful, and we have not heard that information, and that's one of the things that we should be hearing.
Sure.
We should be hearing it directly.
Which I think
we know what makes it fail, and then right now, you know, I mean, like I said, when I go out to places, the best trails I've been on is more footpaths. And they tend to be the nicest ones to go on because you enjoy yourself more, and, you know, because it's from an adventure. But then, but the point is, in here we are getting we're not getting that side of the issue here. And I really think we should listen to what they want, as in other words, what they think is the minimum things that they kind of need, and why it works that way. So we can maybe help us dismiss other things. So if you think it's going to still come out later on, okay, I'll take that leap of faith.
I think the minimum standards that they need must be, and I'm making a leap of faith here, but the minimum standards, if we're talking about hit entertainment and rail events,
the minimum standards that they need must be contained in their contractual agreement with their vendors, all their vendors. And that information we don't need to be have recited from the horse's mouth. That information we could have still.
What we can do is you can ask them questions about what makes things most
But it would first help us to get the minimum information so that we can better inform our questions. I'm just speaking as one person on this committee. I would be better served having them to talk to if I already know the minimums that they're asking for. So I can then say, why do you need
sure
this?
You,
do you ever...
Make sure that he does ask about what makes the best events in all these other areas. Well, we'd like to know, have him look at that. So if he's going to talk to them, make sure that they do that.
And that may be something that we ask ourselves on a follow-on question. I want to begin with getting their minimum requirements.
Can I just say something with the clarification of what Dave is saying? What makes it successful is a very different question than, and so I think initially while they're doing the screening, they need to ask that. Mm-hmm. Then, after we see what they say, then we can formulate questions and have a chance to get them answered. So I just want to
make sure that in addition to the minimum kind of basic questions,
then the
we get
standards that they're asking about. What they've learned in terms of successful events.
The experiential side, right.
Yeah,
because we also have to ask them, and they need to clarify on talking about this, is how the particular lawsuit is actually affecting the possibility of perhaps the trail or the rail and trail and such, because that's a significant
Wait,
thing.
Can
they
you
should
say
know
that again?
That. The lawsuit right now is, I think it's, you said it's about $450,000. And then I don't know what the county spent, because they won't reveal it, totally anyway. But anyway, they need to know that that's happening.
You say, I mean,
the consultant needs to know that that's happening, needs to know what the costs are, and how that is affecting anything that is presently happening. So, I mean, they can actually get an idea of what, in other words, why things are the way they are at this point, as opposed to maybe something else.
And I think, and we can, I can certainly clarify that with Randy, and I will on your suggestion. But I, it's been my assumption based on our conversations here at the table and the very little that I've talked to Randy one-on-one that. We're talking about the future of the corridor. We're not talking about
the future
can
be affected by the present. And in other words, like for instance, if that lawsuit wasn't there, what would those tracks look like? Where how much would they have been able to spend on them? And then what would they? In other words, what would be more operational at this point?
But that's analyzing CMRR and CMRRs.
No,
I mean,
we
need to stop the railroad from
the track
doing anything with the track.
If anybody bids this for a rail, it could be anybody.
But are you suggesting the condition of the rail in any given spot has gotten how it's gotten within the last, within the course of the lawsuit?
There's been a lot of advancements in the rail, in other words, improvements recently.
And that's happened during the lawsuit.
But what would happen is, what would have happened if the lawsuit wasn't?
Well, first of all, the legislature might not have wanted to invest 5 cents in it.
Yeah, we're in a
whole
different
we have a contract with a for-profit, so let's not even get into that.
Our charge is the future.
I've had a question I want to, if I may.
Yes, you may, Jeanette.
If I may. Adding on to what Dave has been saying about finding out what event makes the most success for rail, I'd also like to know what events for trails, whether it's in racing, bicycling, any number of things.
And that's why we would talk to
So it's not just one-sided.
No. And that's why we would talk to Hits Endurance.
That's right.
And Overlook Mountain. I mean, that's why those names
I mean, when you have Tom Strazzeri come in here and talk to you about events that he does all over the country, you'd be shocked at the number of people.
Believe me, there will be a balance. No matter what.
Well,
if in terms of the directing Randy to talk to stakeholders, it will be a balanced direction, but also in terms of our further exploration, it will be a balanced further exploration. We'll have both We need it as a committee to inform our recommendation.
Right.
I have to agree with Dave, and it's not specifically about Catskill Mountain Railroad or that, although that is what the lawsuit centers around. But I do believe, I have two things I want to say. I do believe that there's been an anti-rail prejudice, and I would like an independent consultant to answer the question, not so much how much the lawsuit is impacting potential responses or interests, but how much the, and I don't know how to language this, but the, well, let me say very pro-trail perspective in general from the executive branch, and I'm trying to be careful and non-incendiary, but I think that's an important aspect to have someone that is independent address. And I had one other thing to suggest, and that is...
But can I just ask for clarification on that? Because I feel like we're getting way off course. I mean, we have a scope of services.
Lawsuit has nothing to do with
that. We've already established what, and so now if we start asking our consultants, say, oh, can you now advise us on the lawsuit and what's the lawsuit? We're asking them to look forward. We're asking them to give us basically a feasibility study. We're asking them to tell us the best use for the court.
We're talking about
not asking them to look back and say, tell us how the lawsuit affects. Almost as if then we'd be retreading, you know, the past. I mean, that may be a valuable effort, but for this committee, I mean, we have a contract. We can't even.
Yeah.
So now.
All right. I wanted to express my agreement, and I have one other thing I want to say, but I think what Lynn has to say relates to this.
It does, and I guess what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, kind of all the decisioning that we do around this table, around the information we've been gathering, whatever the outcome will be, and I'm trying very hard not to have a perspective, but being open to listening to all that, what I will say is that whatever the outcome is and whatever we do, whether it's segmented portions, what have you, that I think as a legislative body and how we vote on this will be the kind of the wind behind the sail of whatever direction we're going, regardless of what has happened in the past. And I think we have to walk into that with that belief.
Right.
Maybe it's Pollyanna, but I really believe,
why else
are we spending the time here?
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying?
And I think you touched on exactly what I was thinking as you were speaking by saying Pollyanna. Because for me, I want to approach this, looking at the whole corridor, from the most optimistic viewpoint, which is why when we start to talk lawsuit, I think it gets my backup, because it's, for me, a very negative thing. So I don't want to, yes, the lawsuit may have impacted somebody's ability to operate. It may have impacted our ability to do things. It may have impacted CMRR's pocket and our pocket.
Or people's perspective.
But I would like, speaking for myself, to be able to put that aside and be totally open-minded about the future of the corridor.
Right.
And our approach to this, which is why I don't want to look backwards. I want to say, what's the best use? Even if the lawsuit has impacted the tracks in a given section because someone could or couldn't work, that's irrelevant to me. To me right now, it's like, what's the best use based on the feasibility of what we're going to be, and we're going to use the information. I keep pointing as if Randy's somehow. but you know, our consultants are going to give us information that we're then going to use to inform our decision, and I'm sure we're going to have many a heated debate and discussion. We're going to be in for some long, hopefully very cordial hours of back and forth to reach a consensus of what makes the most sense. And these stakeholders will inform our decision as much as our experts do. But I want to have a Pollyanna perspective. I want to maintain
mm-hmm. very optimistic and open mind, because yeah. this is a beautiful corridor. That's the thing I walk away with first and foremost for having been out there. And I've said over and over that I'm sad about even the portions of the corridor that people say we're never going to get back. Yes, I want to...
Too bad they didn't do this 25 years ago.
I don't want to even believe that. I want to say, let's get it all back. Let's maintain it all in the best right. case possible. So what's that going to be? I don't know.
I agree.
The corridor is
I
not
agree.
There.
I know, well, but what it's very hard for me to accept that. It's very, very hard for me to accept that. I mean, it's we're very lucky. It's a beautiful...
It's an extreme.
I know.
So it's not there.
But again, I'm always thinking, so we can put it back.
Can you use
my Dave, are you
finished? Well, yeah, actually, but we also need they need to talk about the money aspect of the corridor. In other words, because in many areas, in certain areas in the country that have actually put money towards their railroads, they've spent money on it. They've went out actively going after grants, and then also putting money in themselves. We are doing with the trail aspect of it, but we're not doing that with the rail.
And that's
that needs to be something that they need to address.
The consultants.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'd like to know what that is.
Yeah, I
because that's an important aspect, because if you keep talking about, you can do this and this and this with the trail, and then you can do this and this with the rail, but I know we can't compare... I mean, you're always going to be comparing apples and oranges there, but you want to try to get them as close as you can get so you can make more sense out of what is the right thing.
And it is a point well taken. I mean, some of the studies that I looked at that Stone provided and some of their examples in there, just even in their RFP, in terms of looking at economic impact of rail and the extension of that, mm-hmm. Some of that's going to come into the discussion in our moving forward in terms of if we look to rail, the things you're talking about in terms of funding, I can't see a scenario where the county could fund a for-profit corporation. It just doesn't exist.
No,
it
would
disconnect.
Have to be a non-profit.
So those are all things that we would have to
take
into consideration in forming our recommendation.
Once the committee has made a recommendation, and let's say by the grace of God the legislature agrees, then you know what you're going to go out to bid for.
Right.
Then you're going to know, what you're selling, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where the trail, what goes with it, where the rail, mm-hmm. what do we need to make that bigger, better,
yeah.
if possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot at stake here. Really the stake of the corridor as a whole, having been on it. I mean, we need to make decisions. So
I wish I had this earlier.
Sorry. I was thinking
this. Is that mine for one?
Yes.
It can be yours too.
Yes.
I'll keep it right here in this.
No, that's okay.
Pocket.
I just want to say that it's in the minutes that I specifically asked for. Sources of funding for profit, for non-profit, for municipalities, and Mr. Gustafson acknowledged that it would be part of the economic.
Well, if we did anything with the rail, we would have to enter in with someone that was a non-profit. Otherwise, we would not be able to.
Unless there's something that,
you can, but it's not, it's a much more difficult thing to do. You can't get the grant, you might otherwise get, and so on and so forth.
But the other point I wanted to make, and I'm just going to run this up the flagpole and see where, which way the wind is blowing. I am stunned by how often when this topic, the topic of the rail corridor, comes up, how many times it's almost 100% of my experience, without my trying to influence or anything, just the topic comes up and people say, well, why don't we just do rail with trail? Do both. And I say, that could be a lot more expensive. But I am curious if I don't know how this interfaces with the consultant. Certainly there isn't budget or time for the consultant to do this. But And I also understand that either the public could be ignorant of all the facts that we're looking at, but because that response comes up so often, I'd be really curious if there could be like a Marist poll or whatever. Maybe that should happen after the report when we have all the facts on the table. But I'd be really curious what the public at large thinks should be the future of this corridor.
They will tell you. They want rail with trail. So it's our job. Where is that feasible? Okay. I mean, it's that simple, Nana Jo. Yeah, we all say we want rail with trail. Well, if you got an area, you know, where it's not wide enough, and then you decide, well, you want to do what you can to make it wide enough, and it costs this X amount of time. I remember, you've got how many other legislators in there that the bottom line is what's the best use for it? What can we, is it worth investing in? And I would say probably in the end, yes. If we can find enough to satisfy not everybody, but almost everybody, where you could have rail with the trail, you know, that doesn't cost you $200 million, you might be able to work with. And that's what I'm hoping, that's what this is for.
And that's definitely one thing that
but
they
if you,
are
you
looking
did,
at.
But if you did a survey, I guarantee you, 99% of the people would say, we want rail with trail. Why can't we have rail with trail?
Yeah,
they don't know. I probably know as much as they know. Now, if I'm trying to find out, why can't we?
Good point. Thank you. Okay, can we circle back for a moment since we have a quorum? And can I have a motion to entertain the minutes?
I'll move.
And a second.
I'll second.
Okay. We had we included minutes that are amended in your packet.
Yes, I saw that.
We had some comments.
Yeah.
That came in and Fawn made the changes. Are there any other questions or concerns about the minutes?
No. No, I just want to commend Fawn on.
I have to give Krista did type
did
them
these.
Up. Yes. So
okay, I want to commend Krista on really synthesizing a complicated conversation.
Pass along your compliments. Yes. I was very pleased when I came back after my son's wedding that
the minutes were all typed up.
You didn't have to worry about it.
So. Okay, so all in favor of accepting the minutes?
As amended.
Amended.
Aye.
Okay. And now if we could also circle back to amending the resolution. I think I would suggest, but I'm open, that we ask for an amendment to the end of the year with the expectation that we will try to get it in sooner than that, that
right.
We don't take the full
I'll
time. But our terms end on the 31st, our terms on this committee. So I don't know if we want to put it on the day before.
Yeah, we should try to target December 15th.
I would
so,
agree.
Know,
I think that would
say,
be.
You know, so it's everybody at the meeting
holiday.
There,
mm-hmm.
The 15th meeting,
yeah.
The monthly meeting of the 15th should be our target.
Yeah, I agree with that fully. So
and can I just step back from a process perspective? What is it on the 15th? We're going to be presenting to the body a presentation,
a report.
The committee will do this, but it won't have any resolutions attached or anything. Because if they are, we need to put a placeholder there for timely submission of resolutions. So
okay, so we
nothing's gonna happen.
We're presenting to the Economic Development Committee our findings.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
I'm expecting those will be in report form with attachments and any explanations.
Wait a minute. Our recommendation isn't going to be ready to vote on in December?
I don't know.
Well, then
but I think we definitely...
What is all this work for?
Be
because
completed.
Most of us, number of us will not be here in January.
Well, it's a point of discussion. I just think we definitely need to ask for an extension because I do
know,
not see
it. I know, but I mean, originally you
November
said the report should be done by the end of November. So now we're going to extend it maybe another couple of weeks.
No, the report, we all agreed that we needed to give the consultants the maximum amount of time. So we're not going to get the consultant's report back until the end of November, which is when our findings are due. So if we get the consultant's report back at the end of November, we are going to need time to read it, which even if that's one day, then we're going to need time to meet, discuss, debate, call in anyone else we need to call, follow on. So
forget about them. You're not going to have this done this year.
So we're definitely going to have our findings.
People, you know, you'll have new legislators that might say, oh, I wasn't involved. I want to check it all out again.
Dave?
Well, what's going to, you know, even if we had it in November 30th, there would be no action taken by the legislature before the January anyway, in most cases. I can't see anything happening otherwise. Once it's presented, it is there. I mean, they have the report, and this is a report that was done by us, and then we can, you know, whoever the following legislature will take that report and do whatever they need to do.
Right, you would hope that members
of... Yeah, but Tracy...
Yes.
I'm just shocked by this conversation, because the intent of the resolution and the intent, as I thought, of this committee... Our charge was to come up with a recommendation.
Yes.
And if we have all the information from the consultant, I think we should be ready, whether we have to meet every day of the week. And so we have a vote in December. This is not fair to those of us that put in the work and the time to be thrown aside then to January, when you're going to have people that don't know a damn thing about what's going on.
Even given that circumstance, even if that's what we're doing, we need an extension because the...
I understand
our,
that.
I'm
not arguing about the extension. I'm discussing about
my
having
my,
a... Right.
What the reality...
I want to be able to have a vote after all this
okay.
work.
The way we're going to be able to have a vote is by having a late resolution in December. That's the only way. Because
we will have already passed it.
Otherwise, yeah. We're revisiting all of this all over
again. Yeah, otherwise, all this work is for nothing.
Yeah. Okay, but either way, we need to get an extension because otherwise it's going to be even harder to get.
We understand that. We're not talking about the extension.
Okay.
We're talking about the
That's
agreement
why I said the process.
That
what is
we
the,
will
you know,
have a vote in December. I don't care if it's... The 15th, the 16th, the 19th, the 21st, 28th.
Okay.
But I think this legislature should be the one. That's what we've been telling the public. This legislature is tackling that corridor.
I think that's true.
And it, to pass it on to new legislators, you're going to be all the way back to zero again. Because they're not going
to
vote on something they know nothing about.
I fear that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that's not the case because I don't see action taken until January. You're going to have to.
I feel like it's going to be challenging to get the legislature to take action before January.
We can absolutely submit
our findings with a resolution to the Economic Development Committee, which would require a special meeting of the Economic Development Committee.
That's unbelievable.
I think we should do that. It's not, but it's the reality of, we knew this weeks ago, and we knew this when we signed a contract that said that their report was due on November 30th.
And even if, right, even if it was done in November 30th, you got December with a budget month, basically.
Can you tell me what the December schedule is? We know we'd be late for that. When is economic development?
Economic development is going to be Tuesday, the 1st of December.
So the day after the report comes in is
That's
economic
right.
development.
But we could request it being moved.
Or a special meeting.
Or a special meeting.
Could we calendar back from David suggesting the 15th or the week
and
of the 15th?
The week of the 15th is the
over here.
The 15th is session.
The 15th is our session.
And the caucus and everything is on the 9th.
Okay.
It's the budget.
And
the 8th is what?
The budget vote.
You have two meetings in December.
Okay, so the 8th is the budget vote. Is that right?
Uh-huh. That's what I just said. The 8th is the budget vote, so that if you have to override anything the chairman does, anything the executive does, you can do that.
8th is the budget vote, and then the 9th is caucus?
8th.
Yeah. That seems odd.
No. Yeah.
Why would that be? Why wouldn't we have the budget vote on the caucus thing? We have legislative programs on the 8th.
Who put that schedule together?
I'm in command. That's why I printed it up. Special session for the budget vote is on the 9th. Oh, okay. It is the budget.
Okay.
Well, I was told it was the 8th. Okay.
And then the caucus is on the 9th, and the 15th is our regular session.
Right.
Okay. So if we're shooting for a vote on the 15th.
What time is that? Do you know?
The session?
Budget vote.
The budget vote on the 9th?
Yeah.
Is 7 o'clock.
Thank you.
So I think what we'd have to be asking for is a special meeting of a late resolution. Laws and Rules meets on the 14th, so we would need a special meeting of Economic Development on either the 10th or the 11th in order to make it happen.
11th is a Friday.
Trace, I have another recommendation I'd like to make.
Yes.
In December, in the very least, then, I think you should call a special session for all legislators to hear the report and ask questions. Because if then it goes into January or God knows February, March, April, those that are returning, which is probably a good percentage of them, you know, I'll have be pretty well, you know, have the report and have something, you know, to review and relate to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and I think it would be terrible. Because, you know, I mean, when you're all new legislators coming in, you haven't got a clue what they're even talking about.
Right. Well, they should be brought in, whoever the new ones are. Brought in.
But they're still not going to understand. They're not going to appreciate the 3-4 months of work you did and all the questions you asked or who you interviewed. Or
okay, so,
and you may want to even have, I don't know if you want to have,
I mean, I don't care if they're here to hear it, but.
Yeah, Stone, I don't know
before
if that
we,
makes sense.
I don't know if they do what, that, that's beyond the scope of
well,
the contract.
Well, even if it requires a fee for them to come in.
Yeah, even if we have to pay them for it.
I mean, I think that as a big part of helping to synthesize all the information and a data, I mean,
I think that's a good idea.
They should be there. I like that. I think that really.
Well,
that
same.
Double for your Economic Development Committee meeting? Because they'll all be there. And if they needed to take an action.
No. Well, the special meeting, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, everybody will be there. Hopefully all the legislators will be there.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the same thing, like a special meeting of economic development and of...
Which you were suggesting be the 10th.
10th or the 11th.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then...
Which gives us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 business days. You know, we could work on the weekends, but it just gives us from the first, I mean, it gives us 9 total days from the day we received the report to synthesize the information, write a new report.
Well, but if we're getting technical updates, then it should not be a
I mean, we're going to be discussing it, as you said, segment by segment. So we should pretty well feel ourselves, you know, whether we're comfortable with something or not.
Tracy, can I ask a question? If the policy right now is still 275, which is trail only from Kingston to Boyceville, putting out west of Boyceville to an RFP, let's say you come back and there's a recommendation not to change that. Do you do a resolution confirming that, or what?
I don't think you need to. I mean, if
you would just leave it, but if there was a modification, then that would
you'd
be
have
your
to amend it.
Yeah.
If they were going to adopt like the executive suggestion that you have railroad from Kingston to.
Yeah, I think if we were recommending no modification to the current plan, it would require no resolution.
Okay.
Because we certainly don't need to resolve to affirm our own resolutions.
If there was a recommendation to change
in any way, we would
then you're going to run into the next year no matter what. If that is the case, what I'd like to understand, given the amount of work prior to the final report, I'd like to understand our calendaring for November. because...
Yeah. Well, first of all, so if this is what we're shooting for, some...
Then you can backtrack from there.
Right. Yeah. Can we still, or what do we can we still ask for till the end of the year? Because it gives us every last minute. I mean, I would like to amend the resolution
only do
to ask
once.
Yeah, because I don't want to come back and ask again. And you pointed out that members of this committee are definitively not going to still be here. Others may or may not be here. And regardless, our committee's finished on December 31st in terms of our term. So I'd like to make a motion. It's not in writing, but I'd like to make a motion to amend resolution number 155 to change the end date of, to change, let me just tell you what it is exactly, creating the Ulster and Delaware Corridor Advisory, the resolved C to read by no later than December 31st, 2015. The advisory committee shall present its findings. With the understanding internally that we are absolutely working, and I'm committed to working 9 days in a row, if we need to, whatever we need, to getting it done, to be able to make a recommendation, and I will right now speak to the chair of economic development and advise them that we are hoping to have this come, we would like a special meeting, be prepared, et cetera, et cetera. But I would like to make that motion to amend this and to put this resolution out of this committee to the floor this month, so we actually are, you know, on time and not late for our own deadline. Do I have a second?
I'll
thank
second
you, Dave. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. So can we get that
written down? We do some type of report. We also include any new legislators we'll know who got elected in November.
Yeah.
And I think that should, and the information goes out to them so they can be here. So, I mean, so no matter what that final report is, they would
They should have a copy of it.
You know, an understanding of it so they can come in and ask questions themselves.
That's a great idea.
You know, it's all going to be before one meeting.
Okay, so we're backing up and we're looking at November.
That's why I said
this. Okay, everyone, we're looking at November for a moment. All right. Okay, so where are we today? Our next meeting was scheduled on the 3rd, which is Election Day. That's been moved. And that day, well, it hasn't. We haven't moved it yet. Normally, it would be moved to follow economic development, but that can't happen because economic development was moved to the 4th. After a budget hearing in chambers and is now begins at 7 o'clock, so it's too it'll
we
look
have
too
special
late.
Session on the 4th.
I think
fourth,
I have
yeah.
a meeting before
it you on. Do programs. Mm-hmm. So the next available meeting date was at Public Works and
Energy Environment.
So on the 5th is Public Works and Energy Environment. There's nothing on the 6th. That's a Friday.
Who's on those committees?
I'm on Public Works.
I think what okay, so who would be on the 9th? There's a public hearing on the budget in Hurley.
There's also solid waste management,
which by the way might not be a good thing to have on the day of a public hearing. I don't know if anyone's.
It's at 5. So
why can't we meet on the 5th or 6th?
Well, the 5th is Public Works and Energy and Environment. We could do the 6th. Was everyone going to do a Friday meeting?
Public Works,
six and seven. Now, just to keep in mind that the 9th is when the tentative DEP meeting is, and Randy might be coming down for that meeting. I'm wondering if Randy comes down for the... Well, that means it would be at 4. And then 5. Yeah, and Herb is going to have to end up going to the public hearing, if not everyone.
We're supposed to have quorums at those public hearings in town.
I know we are.
What's the 10th?
The 10th is Ways and Means Caucus and the budget public hearing here. And the 11th is Veterans
it's not,
Day.
Oh, it's not the 11th because of Veterans Day. Okay.
So the 10th is what now? I'm sorry.
Ways and Means and Caucus.
And the public hearing on the budget.
Yep. It's going to be a lot. This is a busy month because of all the ways and means.
Is that public hearing here?
Yes.
Well, the public hearing is, that's going to be 1.3 minutes.
But then we have caucus, too.
All right, because they don't, you know, nobody really comes to those.
So that's at what time, 7?
Ways and Means.
Ways and Means is at 5, caucus is at 6, the public hearing is at 7.
The question is...
Well, the public hearing will be over at 7:05.
Unless the library comes.
Okay, so here's the question, really. The question is, do we have a meeting on Friday the 6th, or, and this is something that's kind of a personal ethical question, I guess, how many members do we have who are on Ways and Means? Jim Maloney and
Carl
Herb
Wentz.
Carl's on it? Is Herb on Ways and Means, or no?
I don't think
no.
So. Having had that happen to me where I couldn't get to a meeting that I wanted to because it was scheduled, you know, I prefer not to do that to other members of the committee.
Do what?
Okay. To schedule
I mean, we could
meet this
at 7:05
meeting
right after
when
that
they have
that meeting's in
early.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's right.
Oh, the meeting's in early?
Yeah. I mean, the reason I'm suggesting the 9th man is that it's very possible, if not entirely likely, that Randy's going to physically be here. So, I mean, there's a real benefit to it.
Well, then the only thing we could do is do it, like, as you say, 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something.
We're meeting with the DP at 4.
You're meeting with the DP at 4.
Yeah.
Mark, what's going on at 9? What else is going on at 9?
So,
Tracy and
public
I have a solid waste.
What is it?
Oh, solid waste. Yeah, but I mean, that might even have to get moved. Is Hector on that? No, Hector's not on.
Tracy, could the DEP meeting be earlier in the day? I think your limiting factor was Herb's availability. If he could come earlier.
Yeah, I don't think he can come earlier. He's stuck on his job.
Yeah, let me. Okay, let me look. I'll look into that. But it's a very tight, this is a very tight month. November. Man, it also said that right here we have. What time solid waste is at what time? On the
5 o'clock.
Is it
and
five?
There's a reason why it was 5, because of the budget hearing.
Okay. I don't know. I'd say that we're right now looking at Friday the 6th. That's our option.
Given
you may want to form a subcommittee that could do some of the work and then make it just throwing that out.
The issue of subcommittee and work is going to become much more critical once we have the consultant's report. In advance of the consultant's report, I don't think and I'll talk to Randy if we get a technical memo that then changes also. I mean then it's a more of an all hands on deck approach. But I see us really
16th?
Having to buckle down starting that the first through the 9th of December is where I see us having to work.
But it would be great to have him here, but what about the 16th or
it's a Ways and Means budget meeting?
At
all
1 o'clock.
Long.
Yeah. And then at 6:30 is Laws and Rules.
Laws and Rules at 6:30.
Yeah, 17th is Ways and Means, 1 o'clock, Ways and Means, 5:30.
Ways and Means
caucus.
As a marathon meeting. 18th
is Ways and Means.
And we should also, have a kind of some timelines for the consultant to give us the technical, so that we're not just waiting till our next meeting, that they're delivered and at least we can review them in advance of whatever meeting so that we have time to digest.
Looking at this calendar, it really looks like we're going to be looking at Friday meetings, because then after all those Ways and Means marathon, we start to get into the Thanksgiving holiday. The following week is Thanksgiving holiday.
Well, were we able to do a Friday earlier meeting? Or?
Yeah, Friday
earlier.
Yeah,
I don't care. I'm good. I can do that for sure.
You have a meeting on the 18th already scheduled.
Yeah.
Oh, we have one scheduled on
the
18th. So maybe that's it. We just meet on the 18th next.
That seems way too long with all we have.
Why doesn't everyone pencil in the 6th?
Okay.
And permanent marker.
What is the 6th?
Permanent marker. Pencil in a potential meeting.
No, on the 18th.
On the 18th or 6:30?
6:30. Permanent marker on the 18th. And let me talk to Randy about those, the delivery of the different technical memos.
On 6th?
Yeah, and if we're going to have something on the 6th, then let's meet on the 6th. Yep. And if not, then we may, you know, we might be able to get it to the 18th, knowing that
what's
2 weeks 12th? Later.
What's Thursday the 12th? What's going on there?
There's a public hearing in the town of Shangham.
For budget.
For budget.
For budget.
Do we have to be there?
You need a quorum of the
well, we're all supposed
there.
To be
You're
there.
All supposed
yeah.
to be there.
I know, but I mean, I'm this is an important
and also
committee.
It's
a I mean,
town I represent.
I've,
so I feel
I've
like
been
I'm
at budget here. Hearings for the last 4 or 5 years. We're three people there.
I know.
Yeah, no, we're supposed to have a quorum.
But we are.
Well, there's never a quorum.
But we also have there members. As
there's never a quorum at a budget hearing. I've been to every one of them for the last 3-4 years.
I've been to several of them.
But man. But I'm also
never
trying to respect Manna's comment earlier if we don't want to premeditate people missing. We have members who are on Ways who are on Ways and Means who will miss that meeting if we call it. So the 6th is a possibility. But let me talk to Rand.
Right now we have the 6th and the 18th, and it just means we have to get the technical report in time to actually read it and have a good discussion on
the 6th and the 18th, and then realistically, we have a meeting on the 1st, and everyone should be penciling in the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th, and the 7th
of December.
Yeah. December. There's other meetings those nights.
Well, oh yeah.
Sorry,
it should all be penciled in 2nd through the 8th. Everything should have a.
Actually, there's no meetings on the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
So we
the
should
3rd
we should grab
work,
that
energy and the environment. So there's no meetings this night. You have a meeting scheduled on the 1st.
Right.
2nd. The 3rd is energy and the environment, public works and energy and the environment. So 6.
Right. But it's also a December meeting, you know, pre-budget, post, you know what I mean? It's when you talk about if we have to be here every day, that, I mean, we might have to be there that day. So I would definitely pencil in the 2nd.
The 2nd.
I would loosely pencil in the 3rd. I would definitely pencil in the 4th. 7th is solid waste, but it's going to have to be penciled in that day as well. And
you know, let's face it, at the end of December, any committee meeting is usually
canceled.
Just,
yeah.
Most of them are all canceled.
But if we need it to get
or there's just cleanup.
You know, just
you know somebody has to miss a meeting, I think.
Okay, so
I'll be here. Should be.
Yeah, yes.
When we do trail studies, we have the preliminary design report, and it comes out at a certain date. But by a few weeks before, you have a pretty good idea where you're going. And probably by your meeting on the 18th, Stone will have a good enough feel that.
Yeah.
I think.
Especially because it's post.
You may not need all of those meetings because he may just go. This is that, and it.
Well, all of the pre-18th meetings, you mean, or the post-18th?
No, the December meetings. You know, like that may not be as hard a decision. I mean, the facts will drive it, but like we just did that Kingston Rail Trail thing. We don't even have the preliminary study, and we already know which route we can do just based on cost.
Right. And I'm just saying we need to reserve this because our process might take some time. Plus, if whatever we're presenting is going to need to be created and bound.
Right. So the 3rd might be an issue unless you do it earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what are the open? I'm very reluctant to schedule anything when there's another meeting, but between
right now, the 2nd and 4th are open.
The 2nd and 4th. Okay.
What's that?
And
I'm ready to roll.
You already have a meeting on the 1st.
Yeah, and we have a meeting on the 1st.
I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Whenever you have it, it's fine. I'll be there.
Okay. It's just we have to be prepared. A point well taken. It's just we're going to buckle down and
no problem.
We'll order dinner. And
I'm not running away for a while. So.
And
should we? You talked about having a meeting with the economic development to kind of go over everything with all the legislators. Should we try to maybe pencil that in on the 10th?
Yeah, I want to talk. Yes.
I'll see if we can get the chambers on that night because I think you'll have a good turnout if your presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when is that again?
December 10th.
Right day after the budget vote. Yes.
The December 1st meeting? That would be the. I'm sorry. I thought it was going to be a date of another meeting and was going to ask if it could be held here. But it's just the way I have it in my calendar. It's not accurate.
Okay.
September 10th is economic development?
No, December.
December. That's what we're going to try.
December 1st is the legislature presentation.
But we have to talk to the chairman of economic development to see if that works for him.
December the 10th. I just want to make sure I got the right one.
Keep that day open.
Yeah, I want to put that down, too.
What time would that be?
We don't know. We're going to talk to TJ.
All right, you'll let us all know.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be driven by our work in the days before.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so...
I don't think that's enough.
Everybody's done.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, so I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'm on.
Okay, and a second?
Okay.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Very productive. Good work.